I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Hey, very happy now to be back with Paul Layton of the Salem News, journalist, former sports writer, and still pretty savvy about sports in the community. But, Paul, welcome back.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rick. Great to be with you, as usual.
All right, I appreciate it. And it's great talking with you because, as a would-be journalist, I get to pick your brain and see how things are done, and I really appreciate the discussion and in-depth reporting that we get from the Salem News, both in the sports department and the news department. But this story I want to ask you about is something I think that is very, very delicate, and I want to be very careful in how I ask questions. As a former educator and, as a sports guy, there are some stories that are just very, very difficult. And the one that's going on in Danvers right now that I think back in the summertime or whenever, well, it might have been last winter, in fact, before hockey got underway, involved the Danvers High School hockey team. And since then, this thing has just, it has made headlines everywhere. And Paul, you've been covering the story for the Salem News. Maybe I could ask you about your view of it.
Sure. No, I appreciate the question, Rick. Yeah, it is a difficult story. And there was a meeting the other night, a school committee meeting, and people were really emotional, understandably. So it's really kind of roiled the community. But the basic story is that there are these allegations against the players on the Danvers High hockey team, the boys team, from the 2019-20 season, that these various behaviors took place in the locker room. And the school has been investigating. The police have investigated. The school hired an outside investigator to look into it. You know, we had reported on all of this in the last year or so about what was going on. The coach, Steve Baldessari eventually stepped down. But what happened was the Boston Globe came out with a story last Sunday that had a lot of details about the actual abuse that took place based on what one player said in an anonymous player. And so this is what sort of rekindled the whole thing. And there was a meeting the other night, as I said, and people were very upset. So the basic question is, what should the town, the school, town and school officials, police have done? What the main point of the people who spoke at the meeting was that we should have known more about what was going on. And the other side of the story on the part of the officials that said they're bound by privacy laws, they can't reveal the names of students and the adults that were involved in this these situations. So you get this tension between how much does the public, how much do parents deserve to know about what's going on, and these privacy laws that protect people's rights in that respect. So so that's where it stands now. And these investigations are done. Police said that they weren't going to, there were no arrests made or no charges were filed. But now one school committee member on Danvers the other day said that the superintendent, Lisa Dana, should be placed on administrative leave while they look into this more. And the school committee is going to meet on Monday in executive session, in sort of secret session, to decide this. So that's where things stand now. It's a very emotional topic, and it's a tough one in terms of what the public has the right to know, and the balance against the privacy of the individuals involved.
There was an incident at a school in a town that shall be nameless a couple of years ago, and the superintendent did in fact send out a press release and emails to the parents and so on, involving an accusation and involving, a staff member. And as it turned out, the staff member's name got out, because of what the superintendent said. So that was sort of like the other end of the thing, where the investigation wasn't even underway, and yet the person's name was out there. And I think that this is it's such a hard deal. But so the fact that the police aren't prosecuting or anything like that, Paul, does that suggest anything? And like the fact that, you know, a school committee member wants the superintendent, you know, on leave or whatever. I mean, what do you do? I mean, the thing has been, I guess the complaint is that it was investigated, but information wasn't disseminated. Is that the idea?
Yes, that is the big point. And I know that we requested these investigative reports, and we got, I think, one of them. I wasn't on the story at the time, so I'm not, you know, 100% sure of the details, but they were heavily redacted. And I know the Globe really pushed, and they made appeals to the state, you know, public records officer to get these reports, and they got them, and they were, you know, the same thing. A lot of things were crossed off and so forth. So, but yeah, the point is that, and I think this is something that really needs to, you know, to be, you know, resolved, not just in this situation, but in general, is how do schools and your communities talk to the public about these types of things? This seems to me, and this is just my opinion, there seems to be some type of middle road where you can protect the privacy of people and certainly obey the laws, you know, surrounding that, but also give the public more information. You know, when you get into the situation where people think you're hiding things and they start saying that there's a cover-up, you know, that's not a good situation
for
anybody. And that's where this stands now. And, you know, and I know it's easy to say, well, they should have given more information, or, and then other people say, well, they're hiding behind these privacy laws. I mean, I do think that there should be a way to talk about it and to get, like, I think these details of what happened, I'm wondering, you know, could the school officials have explicitly said what happened? I mean, these are terrible allegations of what happened in the locker room. Instead, they said sort of general things where they were racist, you know, and homophobic, you know, actions. But nobody, that could be a wide range. You know, none of it is good, but some, you know, things are worse than others. And it turned out when the really explicit details came out, and that's, you know, what horrified people.
Yeah.
And they said, why didn't we know that? You know, our kids are in these lockers.
Right, exactly.
Schools, and there are, these coaches are in charge and these officials. And so I think the public, this is my opinion, I think the public did deserve to know more. And I'm wondering, is there not a way that the officials could explain these details of what happened and still, you know, be obeying the law in terms of privacy? I think there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, and it's boy, it is so delicate and so difficult. And I know, I know how difficult it must be for reporters to cover this, because you're in the community, you know the parents, you know the kids, you know the officials, and this one is just very difficult. And you know, covering the North Shore, covering Danvers High School sports for so long and so closely, it's heart wrenching and it's gut wrenching, really. And you know, the other thing, Paul, is that, and you don't have to comment on this, I don't want to put you in any hot water here, but you know, Endicott College has pulled its invitation away, or won't allow the hockey team now to play there anymore. And one of the things I was taught very early on as a teacher by Mr. Sweckler, my first principal, he said, you know, if something goes wrong in your classroom, you take care of it with that person or persons. You don't punish the whole class. You don't come down on the whole class. I guess on a sports team it's a little bit different, because you are in it together. But it's just sad, you know, that first of all that it happened. If you know, the allegations are just, as you say, horrible. But then the fact that kids who, you know, coming along, they weren't even on the hockey team at that point, and now are, you know, they're paying the price for it. And I, as I say, you don't have to comment on that. I just think it's just so hard to talk about and to cover. What is next? Is there a school committee meeting coming up or something or other?
Yes, there's a school committee meeting on Monday where they're due to meet to discuss this motion that the one committee member made to place the superintendent on administrative leave. That's scheduled to be held in executive session, so it's not public, but sometimes when they come out of those, they, you know, they declare, I'm assuming will declare what happened. So we'll find out on Monday what's going to happen there. As far as what other steps are going to be taken, I don't really know yet. Like I said, there's been three investigations already.
Yeah.
And the coach has stepped down. So I know some people at the meeting were calling for other officials to resign, and others said, well, what good is that going to do, you know? So I really don't know. The only thing I know for sure is that meeting's coming up, you know, regarding the, you know, at least the immediate fate of the superintendent. Whether there are other shoes to drop, I think there will be. I don't know what they are, like that one you mentioned about Endicott, you know, college. I wouldn't really have expected that one. So there could be, you know, there could be other ramifications from this as well.
Well, in an unrelated development, but a story that's similar in one way, you have something in the paper about something going on at a Danvers middle school that's being investigated.
Yes, on the, as it turned out, yeah, they found some racist and homophobic graffiti in the in a boys' bathroom at the Holton Richmond Middle School in Danvers, and this was, I think it was the same night as the school committee meeting, and it was, you know, reported to the administrators the next day. So this just sort of adds fuel to everything that's going on, and it's something that, you know, all communities are facing, not in terms of you know, they're obviously this you know, the situation with the hockey team was a very serious and specific thing, but everybody's dealing with these issues of race and, you know, race and equity and inclusion and making people feel welcome. And I think it's, you know, these are good issues to be addressed, and they should be, but it's also that's when, you know, you're getting these you know, difficult situations now as towns and your communities are learning how to deal with all these situations.
Well, let's turn, Paul, to something a little lighter and a little more fun, a little more upbeat. Mayor of Beverly reelected, and you have a story about a Beverly woman serving as delegate to the recent UN climate conference.
Yes, the election was last week in Beverly, and a lot of other you know, communities on the North Shore, and Mayor Mike Cahill in Beverly won reelection to her fifth term, you know, by a pretty good margin. What the noteworthy part of this was, was his opponent was Esther Negoto, and she was the first black person, a person of color, to run for mayor in the city. And there was also the city's only black city councilor ever, Dominic Copeland, actually lost in the Ward 6 city council election. So so that was interesting in that, you know, respect. Again, those are those changes I'm talking about that you're seeing coming to a lot of cities and towns on the North Shore. So it's interesting to write about. There are a lot of ramifications to them. And, yeah, there was also a woman from Beverly who was chosen, as you said, to be a delegate to the climate, the UN Climate Change Conference that's going on in Scotland now, and she was chosen as a delegate to represent the Episcopal Church, and her name is Susie Farrier, and she was great to talk to. She's doing it, you know, by Zoom. Unfortunately, she's not there, but she said it's kind of eye-opening for her to be in the middle of this, you know, worldwide conference, you know, taking on such a big issue with climate change. But it was good to see a local person involved in such an international event.
Yeah, that is way cool. And good luck to her. Maybe she'll get involved more at a bigger level and get to go to the next one wherever it is. That's pretty cool.
Right.
Oh, man. Paul, anything else you want to bring up?
I think that's it, Rick. Yeah, it's been, we spent a lot of time on elections in the last couple of weeks, and now that's passed. So we will be spending a lot of time, I think, on this Danvers story. But I think that's it. There's always something interesting going on.
All right, that's Paul Layton, the Salem News journalist, and we will be linking to all of Paul's stories with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.